to introduce my wife. This is Kathy. Kathy, if you'd stand. We've been married a short 40 years, and not quite as long as Dr. Henderson. But she's my secretary. She's a Sunday school teacher. She teaches the Sunday school, the lady Sunday school teachers, the Dominican ladies, how to teach. And she does so many things, and she's just as part of the ministry there in the Dominican Republic as I am. And our daughter, she's back in the States now. She grew up on the mission field for 8 years there in the Dominican Republic, and now she's back in the States. But she was instrumental too in helping us in starting churches, teaching. She picked up the language real quick. She picked it up faster than we did. In fact, when we first got on the field, I'd ask a question to a Dominican, and he would answer, and I'd say to Kathy and Elizabeth, "Well, he said this," and my little daughter would say, "No, he didn't say that. Daddy, he said this." And so she set us straight there at the beginning. So they just pick it up so much faster. So, but we're glad we're saved and serving God in the Dominican Republic. The Dominican Republic is located in the Caribbean, and it's located about 1,000 miles southeast of Miami, Florida, and the Greater Antilles, that's the larger islands, Cuba, Hispaniola, and Puerto Rico. And we're on the island of Hispaniola. And that island, I was just talking to one of the ladies, where are you? You were in the Caribbean. Just recently on a little island. But Hispaniola is the second largest island in the Caribbean. It takes 10 hours to go from one side to the other, east and west, and another 5 hours north and south. So you can get a pretty good idea. It's about twice the size of the state of New Hampshire. And the people are Roman Catholic. And you say, how do you witness to a Roman Catholic? The same way you witness to anybody. You tell them about the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You tell them what Jesus Christ has done in your life. You don't have to know all about the Pope. You don't have to know about all the sacraments. You don't have to know all about the Roman Catholic religion to lead a person to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says that the Word of God is quick and powerful. Amen? And Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. So for anybody to get saved, it's not by arguing anybody into this into heaven. It's not by convincing them. It's by the Holy Spirit's conviction and the preaching of the Word of God and your life and my life, giving a testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'd like to show our video. Now, the Lord has allowed us to start 3 churches in the Dominican Republic. And if you put them all together, we have maybe about 130 converted Roman Catholic believers there in the Dominican Republic, and we just praise the Lord for them. I'll tell you, when a Catholic gets saved, they're on fire for the Lord. They appreciate what they've got. They are in Christ. They're new creatures in Christ, and they realize that, and they just want to serve the Lord. And so you'll see that in this short video. Just mention something real quick. One of the men that started a church with me, his name is William. He's from Nigeria, from Lagos, the capital city. He moved to the Dominican Republic to study medicine. He could not get a job to put himself through school. He ended up on the street, and then he came to our church. And we gave him a place to stay in the back of the church for a few days. With a few days, ended up to be 5 years. And he was called to preach, became a soul winner, and now he's a pastor. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, and then another man, we've had 2 men that have been with us for 12 years, and we're just so thankful for the Dominican men that God has given us over there in the Dominican Republic who are taking care of the works over there now. They are indigenous works, self-supporting, self-propagating, and self-governing. So if someone would get the lights and start the video, and I'll just say a few things through the video because it runs real fast, okay? You're going to hear the national anthem. It's a very regal national anthem. And you'll also see the Dominican flag. The Dominican flag has the Bible and the cross. It's the only flag in the world with a Bible and cross. I believe there's a purpose for that, don't you? We need to get the cross and the Bible in the hearts of believers, Dominican believers. Hispaniola, the two countries are Haiti and the Dominican Republic, occupying that island. This is Santo Domingo, the capital city. Over 3 million people in this city. Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. There are so many that are just ready to get saved in the Dominican Republic. Thank the Lord for that. The spoken language is Spanish. These are some of the public school kids. They wear uniforms every day. Compulsory school up to 16 years of age. And the people are open to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the oldest Catholic church in the Western Hemisphere. It's located there in Santo Domingo. Anything grows in the Dominican Republic. Bananas and anything from bananas to cauliflower and broccoli. They grow their own food and they do a good job of it. And many tropical fruits and these are Haitians. They come across the border to work in the sugarcane fields, and they make about $3 a day and work from sun up to sundown. This fellow's enjoying some sugarcane on his break. He said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Matthew 4:19. This is a young Dominican boy. Fishermen throwing out the nets. Doesn't that remind you of what Jesus said, to cast your nets out into the deep? Hear the word of the Lord, and O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off. Jeremiah 31:10. That's our verse for the Dominican Republic. We're Ron and Kathy Valerio, and we're church planting missionaries. Our job is to work ourselves out of a job. Start a church and go start another one, once it's established, of course. And we're sent out under the authority of the Victory Baptist Church, located in Weatherford, Texas. And our pastor is Dr. Charles Weatherby. He's been our pastor since 1976. And our purpose, first of all, is to win the lost in the Dominican Republic and disciple new converts, trained workers, and to establish New Testament Baptist churches. Now, these are the churches the Lord has allowed us to start. Iglesia Bautista Victoria in 2004. It's named after our home church, Victory Baptist Church in Weatherford, Texas. These are some of the first converts. There's hardly any electricity out there in the countryside, and we met with candlelight on the roof of Frederico's house. This is Frederico. He's now the pastor of the church. The Lord provided land, 300 square meters of land, about the size of an average building lot here in this city lot in the States. And the people did much of the work themselves, and also, a group from Dearborn Heights, Michigan, Faith Baptist Church, Dr. Gregory's church there, sent some men down to finish up the building. And this is the finished building and the congregation of the Victory Baptist Church. Then in 2006, we went into an unevangelized area and started the Iglesia Bautista Jesu Cristo, or the Jesus Christ Baptist Church. And it's in the community of Las Canelas, and Las Canelas in Spanish means cinnamon sticks. And you can see the streets are very narrow and crooked, and that's the reason why they call it cinnamon sticks, because of crooked cinnamon sticks. This is Alberto. Alberto, we witnessed to him a lot. He's in a store near us, and pray for his salvation. These are some of the original believers. We had 16 original believers of the Iglesia Bautista Jesu Cristo. We met in a house for 6 months, and then we taught stewardship, and then they rented their own building, paid for deposits and paid their rent. This is Pastor Victor now. He's the Victor Yeme. He's the pastor of the Jesus Christ Baptist Church. And 2 years later, in 2008, we organized the Iglesia Bautista Calvario, or the Calvary Baptist Church. And currently we meet in a Christian day school, free of charge. We thank the Lord for that. And this is William and his family, and this is William preaching. He's the pastor of the church. He's the man I was speaking of from Nigeria, from Lagos. Doing a wonderful work. I talked to William today to call him and wish him a Merry Christmas, he and his family. You're going to see a young girl that is going to sing a song. And she's just got saved. We got here April 20th. She got saved just before that. And I want you to notice the expression on her face. She was just so thrilled to be able to sing for the Lord. Dominican girl, believer. The tall man is Marcos. He preaches in Creole at 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings for our Haitian service. This is the Bolivar Cuevas family. They'll be helping us start a new church when we get back to the Dominican Republic. Rafa teaches Bible doctrines. I take care of the babies. Sometimes. Sometimes voluntarily, sometimes involuntarily. These people love the Lord. They love to be in church. One of these churches, the second church, they meet just about every day. This next man you're going to see is Lucas. Lucas used to sing in the bars, and now he sings for the Lord. He got saved. Thank you personally from my heart for your financial support and for the prayers that you offer up for us while we're in the Dominican Republic. We appreciate it so, so much. And your prayers are very, very important to us because I'll tell you, we that's a dark country. There's a lot of spiritual darkness in the Dominican Republic, and we need your moral and prayer support. John chapter number 6. John chapter number 6 this evening, for just a few moments, I want to preach to you on distributing the bread of life. In John chapter 6, if you'll find the text here, this is a very familiar story about the feeding of the 5,000, the only miracle that we find in the New Testament that is mentioned in all four of the Gospels, and it must be very important for us. Let's take a look at it tonight. in John chapter 6. Let's stand, shall we? It's been a while since we stood in honor of the Word of God this evening. In verse number 1, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles, which He did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there He sat with His disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up His eyes, and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove Him, for He Himself knew what He would do. Philip answered Him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. And one of His disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto Him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes, but what are they amongst so many? Great encouragement for our Lord. Amen. And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when He had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. Now, when they were filled, He said unto His disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men which they had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Father, we thank You so much for the inerrant and scripturated Word of God that is given to us, Lord. And thank You, Lord, that has been passed down through the ages, and it is perfect, and it's powerful, and has the ability to save souls. And Lord, we pray tonight that You would help us to receive the engrafted Word that is able to save our souls. And Lord, we pray that You encourage every believer, that You challenge us through Your Word and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit this evening and these next few moments. Save the lost. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. Distributing the bread of life. That's our business. Amen. We're in the bread distribution business. Before I was saved, I had the privilege of working for one of the largest commercial bakeries on the East Coast. How many have had eaten Zingers before? Junk food, okay? I was quality control manager of the largest junk food company on the East Coast, if that's something to be proud of, okay? But the one thing about that company was it employed about 1,000 employees, and it was a very fast-moving operation. And the flour would come in by rail, and the corn syrup, and the ingredients would all come in by rail in the back of the building, the processing plant, and then they would mix the flour and the water and the oil and all that together and make a batter and deposit it in these pans with like 60 different zingers in a pan and then run it through this huge oven. And when it got down the end of the oven, it would cool and they'd package it, and it was a straight line operation from the back to the front. And there was a warehouse in the front, but they never used it because they just rolled those zingers on semi-trailers and they moved them up and down the interstate from Miami, Florida, all the way up to Bangor, Maine. And they got them there as fast as they could. It was a race to get those zingers to the 7-Eleven stores and all the convenience shops and supermarkets and all of that. But I want to tell you something tonight. There's a greater race and there's a greater the need tonight, and that is to get the gospel to the ends of the earth, to get the bread of life distributed. And we see that Jesus gave thanks, and He distributed the bread to the disciples and the disciples to the 5,000. And I want us to see something here tonight that we can apply to New Testament Baptist missions and that hopefully will be helpful for us. Now, we could preach on the lad. He had the sack lunch, and what a sacrifice that was for him. We could preach on the lunch itself, the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and that was so little for so many, but little as much when God is in it. Amen. And we could preach on the leftovers and the fragments that remained. There were 12 baskets full that remained. That tells me that there may have been one for each of the disciples. But there was something left over, and God always does things right, and He gives us above and beyond what we even would ask or think. And so we could talk about our cup runneth over, and we could talk about the Lord tonight, and that's what we're going to talk about, the Lord and the bread of life. Because if you take a look at verse number 33, Jesus the next day, He interprets this particular miracle and gives the purpose of the miracle. He was trying to teach the disciples something before Jesus would go to the cross. He was trying to teach them that there would be one day when they would have a job to do. They would have a ministry to perform without the Lord Jesus by their side, but they would have the Holy Spirit within them to indwell them and empower them, and they would have the Word of God, and they would preach and go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we find here in verse number 33, "For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto Him, Lord, evermore give us this bread." And the Bible says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life." We don't need anything more than that, amen? We need the bread of life. That's what people need. That's what people need here in Haslett. That's what people need in the Metroplex and going beyond the borders of this country into all the world to distribute the bread of life. Now, we find that the disciples, they had just been on, if you study the Gospels, you'll find that they had been on a soul-winning journey. And they were tired, and Jesus was tired, and they all decided they were just going to go out into a desert place and rest. But they went out to rest, and we find that the crowds actually went ahead of Jesus and the disciples, and they met the disciples there. And the disciples said, "Jesus, we want you to, let's just send the crowds into the city and they can buy their own bread." And Jesus said, "No, we're going to meet the need." You know why that is? Because Jesus meets the need. He always meets your need. And so tonight I want us to see what Jesus wanted to teach these disciples as they were to become soul winners and to go into all the world and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look here in verse number 5, "And Jesus then lifted up His eyes." My friend, the first thing, He did something with body language. He lifted up His eyes. In John chapter 5 and 35, the Bible says, Jesus lifted up His eyes and He said, "Look upon the field, for they are already white unto harvest." There are people ready to be saved. I am so surprised when we got to the Dominican Republic, people were ready to be saved. I'm talking about people that were even older in life, later in life. They had never heard the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, like Titina, who was in her 70s. She doesn't even know how old she is. She didn't have a birth certificate. But she got saved, and she serves God. And so, here the Bible says, Jesus lifted up His eyes. What's the first principle we need to know tonight, friends? We need to lift up our eyes beyond our present sight. Amen? We're looking here, and we need to look up and beyond where we are. I don't know what you see when you go into a mall, or you go to Walmart, or you go to a store to buy something, and somebody bumps into you. Just a couple weeks ago, a lady just crowded right in front of me at Walmart. You know, and what do you see? Do you see a pushy person, or do you see a soul that's on its way to hell and needs to know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior? We need to lift up our eyes. You know, before we can even lift up our eyes and see the fields, we need to get a vision of heaven. Amen? We need to lift up our eyes and see heaven. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may be ye also." People need to know that there is a real heaven. We need to have a vision of hell, amen? A real vision of hell, because Jesus saves us. He saves us out of hell. But I thank God it's more than just hell. Amen. I love the Christian life because God gives you peace and joy and happiness, and He gives you a purpose in life. And people without Christ do not have a purpose. And so to lift up our eyes beyond our present sight, to get a vision of heaven and hell, and get a vision of Him. Amen. Jesus said, the Bible says, consider Him. Consider Jesus. And so to lift up our eyes. So many times we are just so, we have tunnel vision, and we have myopia, and we have all these different eye problems. Amen? We can't see far off. I've got a problem with my eyes. I just can't see far off. And I have to get my glasses changed. And my friend, tonight, we need to have a spiritual vision to lift up our eyes and see beyond our present sight. You see, the people that got saved, and they're in that video tonight, they got saved and you had a part of that. Paul said that you might have fruit added to your account. See, because, I cannot do it without you. You cannot do it without me. And none of us can do it without the Lord. And so, to lift up our eyes. And then the second thing, if you'll notice here, there's something else that I believe that the Lord was trying to teach these disciples before that they would be alone, so to speak, but they would have the Holy Spirit to help them. And verse number 5 also it says, but when Jesus then lifted up His eyes and saw a great company come unto Him, He saith unto them, unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this He said to prove them, for He Himself knew what He would do. What was Jesus doing? He was testing Philip. He was testing Philip to see where his faith was, what level of faith that Philip had. And here, what Jesus, I believe, was trying to do was get Philip to trust in God just one more notch higher than he was. And I believe that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to believe beyond our present belief. Not only does He want us to lift up our eyes so that we can see a world lost and dying without hell, but God wants to increase our faith. Remember when the disciples said at one time, He said, increase our faith. Increase our faith. And that's what God wants us to do. You know, because the Christian life, there's no such thing as a holding pattern for the Christian life. You know, there's no such thing as being standing still in the Christian life. We're either going forward. Our faith is either increasing or it's decreasing. Amen? And so, Jesus wants us to lift up our eyes, but He wants us to believe beyond our present belief. And so He takes Philip, and Philip answers back. And it's just remarkable how Philip answers the Son of God, the universe. And he says this, and he said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that everyone should take a little. Imagine that. Sometimes we know more than the Lord. Amen. We want to do our own thing. We want to have our own plan. And God has got a different plan. And so, you see, this whole thing about missions is a thing. It's all dependent upon faith. It's not dependent upon works. It's not dependent upon it's not dependent upon our own ingenuity. It depends upon the Lord. As we depend upon the Lord, then mission succeeds. To believe beyond our present belief. And so God is testing Philip to see where his faith was. And then the third thing I'd like us to see tonight, if you look here in verse number 12, when they were filled, He said unto the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Boy, there's so much preaching in this thing. Amen? You can preach on that, huh? About stewardship, you know, because we're responsible for everything that God gives us. But in verse 13, therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then rose, then the Bible says, okay, that remained over and above them that had eaten. What's God want to do? He wants to bless us, but He wants to bless us beyond our present blessing. Amen? He wants us... Listen, God wants to bless us more than we realize we want to be blessed. Now people have asked me, I think preacher said, where do you live and all that? I'll tell you what, when we were in Haiti, or in the Dominican Republic, there were people that came down, groups came down to help after the earthquake there. January 20th was a 7.0 earthquake in Port-au-Prince, where 3 million people were just devastated, you know. And we could feel that island shake, and it was something. But my friend, the whole thing about it is people came down, and this one man came down, his name was Dale Morrison from Abilene, Texas, a businessman. And he called first and said, Brother Ron, Brother Robin Webb gave me your name. He said that you might be able to help us. I said, well, what can we do? You know, he said, I'm coming down. He said, we have a supply of some medical supplies. We have $100,000 worth of medical supplies that we need to get into Haiti, and the only way we can get them into Haiti on that island is to go through the capital city in the Dominican Republic where you are. And so he said, what I need, he says, I need a big truck. He says, I need translators. I need some armed guards, and I need some helpers and all. Can you get that all ready by next week? And I said, we'll do it. We'll get it ready. And we got those things all lined up. Dale comes in. And this is how the Lord works. Dale Morrison was in Metroplex, and he was in a building where there was an Exxon Mobil office with executives in it. And he went into that, he just went into this one office, and you'd have to know this man, he's very commanding. Spirit-filled and commanding. But he went in and said, look, he says, I need an airplane. He said, there's some people over there in Haiti that are dying, and they need medical supplies, and we've got to get these medical supplies over to Haiti. Can you help us out? So we'll give you a Gulfstream jet and three pilots. And they flew Dale Morrison and Dr. Ben Gray and $100,000 worth of equipment over to Santo Domingo, landed on the tarmac. When it got to the tarmac, and listen to this. All of these supplies were donated, and not 100% went over there, okay? And when they got to the Dominican Republic, and the jet was on the tarmac, there was a Dominican worker on the tarmac. He said, if you go down the other end of that area of the field, he said, you won't have to pay any tax on all this stuff. He says, really? And they went down there, and we unloaded all that, all of the medical supplies on a truck, and then filled the rest of the truck up with beans and rice and dried fish and bacala and all that stuff, and got it off to the to Haiti. And they made a stop at Jiminy, right on the border, a little Dominican border town, and dropped off supplies at the hospital there and another hospital in Port-au-Prince. And then the food went to a Baptist church in Port-au-Prince. And Brother Jacques Alexander, do you know him, brother? Okay, but he was there. And so then on the way back, they stopped at Jiminy at the hospital, and the hospital administrator said, if you had not brought those supplies, there would have been so many that would have died. He said, we never even get this kind of equipment. We've never had this before, you know, x-ray equipment and things like that. And so then Dale went on back and said, brother, and called me. He went back to the States. He called and he said, Brother Ron, he says, you're going on furlough, right? I said, yes, sir. He says, well, where are you going to stay? I said, well, I don't know yet. You know, we haven't found a place yet. You know, and he says, I said, we were kind of looking online at a duplex over there in Weatherford, Texas. He says, well, will they take cash for it? And I said, well, I'm sure they will. Bank of America owns it, and they don't have any cash, you know. And so he says, you mind if I put a bid on it with foreclosure? He says, no, go ahead, Brother Dale. If you do, you don't have to do all that. You go ahead if you want to. He did. He called me. He says, I got him down. He said, you want me to put another bid on it? And I said, yeah, go ahead and put another bid on it. He called me again. He said, I got him down again. You want me to put another bid on it? You know, three bids down, got that thing down to $50,000. $140,000 home. And it was a duplex. And Dale bought it and then sold it back to us, and we pay him for 10 years. But, you know, we had no place to stay when we came home. But God, listen, God does above and beyond what you ask or even think. Amen. We never thought. When we left for the mission field in 1995, I was a pastor and we sold a brand new home. It was, 4 years old. We had it built in Monroe, Louisiana. And it was kind of like a little mini dream home for my wife, you know. And when I surrendered to missions, I asked a missionary, David Cook. I said, what should I do? He said, sell your house, sell everything, get on deputation, get to work, stay fully booked, you know. And okay. And so that's what we did. We just sold it, you know. By faith, we sold it and sold our car and everything, and it all worked out. And, you know, and after that I thought, I don't have a place to live anymore, you know. But God supplied. God gave us a 34-foot diesel pusher motor home that we could use all during deputation and then just bring it back, and if it was okay, and we didn't have to pay anything. So that worked out fantastic. And then on the mission field, after a few years, I thought, we're not getting any younger. We don't have a place to stay if we went home. Well, God's going to take care of that. And then we'd say, God's going to take care of it. Amen? I mean, you think, you have these question marks, and you say, God's going to take care of it. He took care of me in the past. He's going to take care of me in the future. He's taking care of me right now. And so we just trusted God about the whole thing. And, we had all these different things on deputation. Kathy had late stage cancer. God has healed her from that. And she's been 14 years cancer free. The doctor said, don't go to the Dominican Republic. I said, why shouldn't we go to the Dominican Republic? The doctor said, because she has to be on chemo. I said, how long does she have to be on chemo? And the doctor said, until the hearse backs up to the back door of the hospital. That's what he said. That's the truth. That's what the doctor said. But when he said that, I could hear the Lord saying, go to the Dominican Republic. And we went to the Dominican Republic. And before we did, the deacons came over, and according to James 5, I saw that was on your prayer bulletin, that you ask in faith and all, and the deacons came over, and our pastor anointed Kathy with oil, and she was laying on the sofa there, and we all confessed our faults to one another, and then had a beautiful service in our little apartment there in Weatherford, Texas, and those godly men went and laid hands on her and prayed. And she's still here today. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. And they said she wouldn't be five years. They said, the doctor said, do you have any children? I said, yeah. And she said, oh, dear. You know. But I'll tell you, God is good. Amen. God is good. Listen, God wants to bless us beyond our present blessing. You know why He wants to bless us beyond our present blessing? So we can be a blessing to somebody else. Amen? He doesn't want to just have us just keep it and hoard it and do what we want with it. He wants us to use it for His honor and for His glory. And this is what these disciples, I believe, needed to learn. They needed to learn to lift up their eyes because they're just looking inward. They're just looking at themselves. Amen? In fact, one of them said, who's going to be greatest, you know? And you see, Jesus taught them so many lessons. He taught them they need to believe beyond their present belief. Just keep on believing more and more as you get older in the Lord. Amen? And because God wants to bless you beyond your present blessing. Let's bow our heads in an attitude of prayer. Father, we do thank You, Lord, for Your love and Your compassion, that You had compassion on these 5,000, that You have compassion today on the lost who need to know Thee in such a dire way, Lord. We pray, Lord, for missionaries. We pray for the fields that this church supports through missions, Lord. And Lord, we pray tonight that especially that You would help us to look upon our own hearts, that, Lord, that even the flood gate of the Holy Spirit would pour upon our hearts to see our present condition, Lord, our present belief, our present vision, and Lord, and how God has been blessing us presently, Lord. And help us, Lord, that we might move a step up to be closer to You. And Lord, You've said in Your Word that if we would draw nigh to You, You'd draw nigh to us. And so, Lord, You've left it for us to take the first step to draw closer to You. And I pray, Lord, tonight that You would make it possible through the ministry of Your Spirit and the Word of God, that we might be challenged to believe greater and to do more for missions and to do more for soul winning here in Haslett. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.